Choose.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Four major banks are getting fined. Attorney General Loretta Lynch made the announcement this morning.
They are Citicorp, JP Morgan Chase & Company, Barclays PLC, and the Royal Bank of Scotland PLC.
And she described the charges.
Traders in this cartel used a private electronic chat room to manipulate the spot market's exchange rate between euros and dollars, using coded language to conceal their collusion.
She says the criminal behavior took place between December 2007 and January of 2013. Members of Congress are calling on the president to come up with a new set of war powers to fight ISIS. The group took over Ramadi over the weekend, and now the Iraqi government is calling on the Iranian-backed Shiite militias to help out. And Texas Congressman Mike McCall says that's a problem.
This is a prescription for disaster. It will only inflame the Sunni tribe to make the sectarian divisions even deeper and wider.
He spoke this morning on Fox News. This is USA Headline.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. That's the sound as hundreds of homeless people from Skid Row gather for karaoke night to sing and dance at the Central City Community Church of the Nazarene, where Pastor Tony Stallworth welcomes them all.
From the first day that we started it, it was blessed. We had standing room only. And it's just been some place where people come, and it's an alternative and keeps them out of trouble.
Mickey Cagnon, who lives in a homeless shelter, is one of those enjoying her karaoke time.
This is a party every week. Yeah, every week it's like this. They don't care what you wear. They don't care if you smoke, if you drink, whatever. They don't care. You can come in, and for 3 hours a night, you are non-judged.
An estimated 1,700 people lay their heads on dirty sidewalks every night on Skid Row. For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
His national security at risk. The NFL is making extra points a bit more challenging. League owners have approved the proposal to snap the ball from the 15-yard line on extra point kicks. AP Sports editor Oscar Garcia was asked how the rule change will affect the game.
You're going to see a few more misses, and you're going to see more teams going for two in certain situations because the two-point conversion line is still going to be at the two-yard line. So it makes it a little bit more of a decision between the two plays.
It is similar to the college rule. A second Marine has died of injuries he received after an Osprey aircraft crashed during a training exercise last weekend in Hawaii. It went down Sunday at a military base outside of Honolulu with 21 Marines and a Navy corpsman on board. House Speaker John Boehner is giving the Department of Veterans Affairs a failing grade when it comes to making improvements. He says the VA is no better off a year after the secretary resigned amid a scandal over long wait times. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City. The good news station.
The following is a paid program.
The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
So this is the Everly Brothers show. This is Don and Phil, because Pastor Tom forgot our names when he was announcing it earlier.
Well, I haven't been here for 3 weeks.
So we got. So I thought I better. We got to change our identities.
You're
Vince.
Don and I'm Phil.
You're Phil, right? Yeah. In defense of Pastor Tom, which I would never do, he was saying, "Here comes the Team Martech hour shortly, and Phil and Joe are here." And so Vince has got to change his name into
Phil.
I'm
changing my name to Phil.
And I'm going to go with Don. I like being, you know what?
Just that I'm having a senior moment and you're making the most of it.
That's right.
Yes. And your point is? Hey, this is a talk show. Joe Martech, financial advisor, and Vince Rosino, CPA, are here to help in any way we can, answer any questions you might have to do with investments. We also are able to handle taxes, anything to do with starting a business. Having a CPA here, how many times do we kind of take things for granted, Vince, that when people start a business that they don't look at everything with, let's say, out rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just ignorance, Joe. I mean, it's not that looking at rose-colored glasses. They just don't know what to do.
Well, that's what I call it. You're looking through rose-colored glasses, which means you are ignorant. Ignorant is not a bad word. That means I haven't learned.
Well, ignorance is lack of knowledge.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And very often somebody goes to look at a new business and they're going to buy it, and they automatically assume that the person is selling it is honest, and they automatically assume that what he's showing you is all above board and done properly. That's why it there's nothing wrong with what is called due diligence, which means do your homework and take this stuff to somebody that goes through it regularly and find out.
There's so many things in a negotiation of a business purchase.
Right.
You know, how to structure the deal, a stock deal, an asset deal, what's involved, what are the tax implications of it. All these things you really should speak to your professional about, because it definitely affects what your costs are going to be.
Well,
now or in the future.
And, you know, financial statements, the same thing. When people show you a financial statement or a profit and loss, not everybody's used to looking at these things. Mm-hmm. And it's for a person that has the experienced eye, they can pick things real quick and find out if there's a flaw. Now, it might be an oversight, but if it's done on purpose, that's called the biggest red flag you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and you and I both have had a few instances in the last few years where we've had people come in to see you and you basically open up their eyes a bit to show them where there might have been a flaw, and they need to go back and find out why there's a flaw or next.
Absolutely. And that comes about if you do it right early in the process.
Right.
You know, I look at the statements, ask questions, a lot of questions.
Yep.
And being a forensic accountant,
yep.
I have all that more in-depth knowledge of what to look for.
Forensic just means that the court recognizes Vince as an expert witness. He's certified to testify, and not everybody has that credential. Being a forensic simply means you can testify in court for or against. It depends on who's looking. I had a son-in-law that was a forensic engineer. Mm-hmm. And his firm had every type of engineer in it. And let's say an insurance company would hire him because a boat burned and it was worth $5 or $10 million. They obviously don't want to pay if it's arson. He'd go out, and within whatever period of time, he'd come back and he'd say, "You got to pay. Don't go to court on this one. You're just going to waste a lot of time and money." Or he'd say, "I think you've got a real good basis for not paying, and here's why." And he would testify in court. And he did, unfortunately, happen to die, but he had never lost a case. So that really counts lots of points.
Another client came in as he's got a lawsuit against a former employer.
Uh-huh.
And because he claims that he was wrongfully terminated, he's suing for damages, basically loss of wages,
sure,
et cetera.
Sure.
So I have to go through this calculation of the economic damages that were incurred by him. So we do those kinds of things also. But that's also part and parcel of the litigation.
Yep, yep. 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990. So Team Martech basically started 10 or 12 years ago. We don't know exactly when because nobody gets to remember that far back. But the concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker or a securities principal, which means lots of licenses. And I've got a bunch of clients here in Martin and St. Lucie and Palm Beach County, plus other counties in the state, plus 13 other states, because people move and referrals, etc. And invariably, clients are going to ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. That's why if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals that you can depend on. And this becomes a very big challenge sometimes, because I don't want to ever tell a client of mine to go see Vince Rosino, CPA, or to see Greg Fasulo, attorney, or Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, if I don't feel very, very comfortable that I'm doing the right thing for the client. So it took me a bit of time to put it together, but the initial two members were Greg Fasulo, attorney. And, you know, normally when people hear the word attorney, they start to shudder a little bit, because that's not one of these nice words normally. And very often attorneys can be very pretentious and arrogant. A lot of them are not user-friendly. Some of us are intimidated easily. Some of us are impossible to intimidate. But I do not like people that wear that intimidation factor at all. Greg happens to be probably the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy. He also will not pretend to know something that he doesn't know, which I've seen happen to other attorneys and other people in business. I've actually made a couple of phone calls over the years to attorneys and told them they were telling people something wrong, which really upset them. But I got them to change what they were saying because they were making a mistake. And there's nothing like continuing a mistake. If you can correct it, it's a good thing. So initial members were Greg Fasulo, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big, big, big word, independent insurance agent, especially in Florida. Those that have lived through Hurricane Andrew and subsequent hurricanes and may have been non-renewed or canceled by their insurance company sometimes had their feelings hurt because they might have been with that company for 20 years. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Florida doesn't have anybody that's loyal, quote, companies. So the independent, he doesn't work for one insurance company. He'll have 20, 30, 40. Dan's got 80-some companies total underneath his umbrella. He's only been doing this 35 years, and in my opinion, personal opinion, I don't think there's a finer person that I know, period. And he's done wonderful things for a lot of my clients and some listeners here at WCNO. My favorite one was when the lady called in and said he saw this old guy with silver hair, white hair, out taking pictures at her horse ranch. And it was Dan, and that was made him feel so much better.
Hey, listen, you know, Joe, I got to give a shout out to Dan and his group. You know, I had to go out for flood insurance. I was notified about month ago, and Dan's group did an excellent, excellent job for us.
Good.
In getting us, I mean, the numbers we were hearing versus what we actually got were miles apart.
Nice.
And so Dan did a really solid. So I want to give a shout out to Barbie at his office. He did a great job for us.
That's great.
And Dan, as usual, you come through.
There you go.
Thank you.
So then after Dan, we've got Vince Rosino, CPA, which here comes, you know, every year I get questions with taxes. Every year there's questions on K-1. How come I've got a 12-page form? You know, that's what we have CPAs for. They've got to go through this stuff. And, you know, companies do make mistakes. And it just aggravates everybody to death, including the CPA, because these companies shouldn't make mistakes. Well, of course, the word shouldn't is all. Everybody in the world makes mistakes. There's no such thing. And somebody has to push the button to print the stuff out.
Well, you know, there's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know, and he's the only one that doesn't make any mistakes.
It kind of leads me into my next subject. You know, the last time I walked on water.
Oh, yeah.
It was frozen. Right? And then we also have in our group Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor extraordinaire. She's only been in real estate since 1980. An excellent person, one of the hardest working people alive. Miss Bubbles, I've nicknamed her because she just always has energy, and she's just a worker, and she's honest till the day is long. I mean, the girl will tell you straight, Errol, you not always want to hear what she's going to tell you, but she's going to tell you the truth, and she's going to back it up with proof to show you exactly what happens. Which leads us to the last member, which is Mr. Mike Polis, mortgage broker who works hand in glove with Victoria. And one of the nice things about having a mortgage broker is before you go look at real estate, it's nice to find out what you can qualify for. Now, if you know you're making $10 million a year, you don't have to worry about it. But the average working person, they have a ratio of income to debt. And Mike can run a credit report and in 5 or 10 minutes after you talk to him can say, okay, here's what you qualify for. And here's probably the interest rate currently that you can get. So right away, you back up into this thing, and it's one of the smartest ways in the world to go do business.
But you know, he's one of the smartest mortgage guys I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't say that because he's part of the team. I mean, it's easy to patronize him, but he happens to be a very knowledgeable guy.
Well, he's only 20-some years in business, which kind of helps. Yeah. But you know, and what happens, like every business, things change every week, every month. I mean, you know, there's nothing that stays the same. Like the tax code.
Tax code, I get bulletins every day. Yeah, right. I tell you, every day. Yeah. We know what's going on in the Congress. We see what bills are about to be passed.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, it's hard to keep up with all of it, to tell you the truth. Well, it's because you got to read and read and read and read.
Well, I had a client call me yesterday or today, I forget which, about when China's yuan gets valued on a par, what's it going to do to the market? And I said, you know, I've been hearing stuff like this my whole life. And then the reality is this, maybe a short-term blip, but I can't see anything that would happen. You know, these powers that be behind the scenes, this is monster, monster, monster stuff. So anyway.
Remember, that it affects them economically, seriously, when they devalue or increase in value.
Of course.
Their currency.
Yeah.
So it upsets their balance of payments. I mean, they become more expensive all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Guess what? Companies may not want to manufacture there if it's so expensive.
No kidding. Which... I think it was Black & Decker that came back from overseas with the power of robotics and 3D printing. They found out it's less expensive to hire people here and than it is to ship back and forth. And
it's not only the shipping, Joe. The labor costs are starting to creep up because the middle class is expanding and growing, and they want more money.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're getting to sound like the U.S.
No kidding. You know, and that's what happens. These third world countries all of a sudden price themselves out of being a third world country. Look at Japan. You know, in our lifetime, my lifetime especially, but Second World War, and Japan was just annihilated, but they came back to be the third most powerful country on earth. Productivity, hardworking people, just good. Natural resources, they have very few, if any, but they happen to work their rear ends off and make things happen. So, hey, and everybody was all worried about Japan taking us over. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
do you remember the 60s when we used to call it, you know what?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it.
It was Jap fill in the blank.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what?
You know, those were back in the days in the 50s and 60s. But, of course, they turned the whole thing around through our help.
Now
they become leaders in the technology area.
It was also an interesting thing. They were buying American real estate, and they ended up buying a ton of it at the top of the market, and it collapsed. You know, they got just as greedy as the rest of the people in the world. You know, they learned that lesson. You know, not maybe they didn't learn it, but it was a temporary blip of learning. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. So other than that, have you been following at all what All Aboard Florida's doing? Pastor Tom, you've been following?
I've heard some rumors and
something about choo-choo.
Rumors.
Yeah, choo-choo. Mm-hmm. Have you been following it at all?
Well, I know that Martin County had filed some lawsuits against it.
Well, there's three counties now that have put up $2 or $3 million to file lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that happened is, you know, they were first going for that government grant money. Then they went for the bond,
right,
which was government.
More government funding.
More government. And that seemed, they're trying to stop that. And now the All Aboard Florida's come back and says, okay, fine. Then we're going to raise money and charge twice as much. Well, instead of $100 billion, we're going to raise $200 million because the costs are going to go up.
And they'll go out of business twice as fast.
Exactly.
So
it
was an interesting thing. And if you followed at all what's happening with trains, you know, the couple of train wrecks we've had recently, well, that led into the only profitable rail line in the United States is that spell from D.C. to New York and Boston.
Really?
There's no other railroad that makes a profit in the whole country. And to think that
passenger.
Oh, freight trains. Yeah, different story.
Yeah.
But no other passenger. Thank you, Tom, for keeping me on track. You know, you're
keep
away.
You on track. No pun intended.
You're awake today.
Sometimes.
He is. Actually, he looks rested.
Intermittently.
He does look rested, doesn't he?
He looks rested despite the fact he's been fundraising all
day. You know,
day.
You look at least 2 years younger than last time I saw you.
Yeah, last time he was a little...
Your vision is failing.
You were a little peaked.
He was peaked then.
Your vision is failing.
That's what happens. Let me put my glasses
That's
on.
Right. Rose-colored glasses.
Rose-colored glasses. 1-888-221-8990. Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, sitting here to answer questions. And we can be a little bit dangerous when it comes to things like wills and trusts because we have to deal with them every day, even though I don't do them and Vince doesn't do them and we wouldn't charge a fee to do any such thing like that. There comes Greg Fasulo, attorney, and I have sat through maybe 100, maybe more meetings on wills and trusts. So again, I have a good working understanding of them. And in fact, if I have a client that has such a document, normally before I do business with them, I want to see it to make sure we structure things according to that document. And in fact, whenever you open up a new account in the name of a trust, whoever you open it with is going to want to have documentation that shows you have such a trust.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a broker doing stocks or it's a bank that wants to go, whatever it is, they want to see documentation that proves that you have such a vehicle.
Well, you know, Greg Fasulo, he's an easy guy to talk to. I found out something recently. You know, when you speak to an attorney, you really need to sit down with him and talk to him and see where he's coming from, because their personal view of things can change the way they do business. I'm had a trust done recently, and I'm found out today that maybe the trust was done with a personal view of the attorney, because they thought, well, the way I see it, this is the best way to do it, and they did it the best way they thought to do it. But now I'm finding out it might not have been, it's not bad, but it might not have been, you know,
100%
what I wanted. Because once this, and it had to do with the schedule that's mentioned in the trust. You know, if you want to put something into the trust, you have a schedule.
Right.
Well, if you're presenting that trust to someone and they need to see the entire trust,
mm-hmm.
you have to attach that schedule.
There you go.
And if properties that you want to keep private are listed on that schedule, they're no longer private. For example, if I went to another attorney and said, look, I need to put something on, I need to put an asset into this trust, and he needs a copy of the whole trust, and he's seeing, you know, all the other items that are there. When if it doesn't mention in the corporate body of the trust that there's a schedule, then you don't have to present that to him.
Of course not.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I agree with that. You know, what happens is when you fund a trust, it doesn't mention any asset ever, normally. Like you said, no schedule, no nothing. You then just change the ownership from Pastor Tom to Pastor Tom's trust. And that's the wording, and forgive me, Tom, but it can be Joe Martek's trust.
It's like an asset allocation.
Point becomes.
That they put.
The asset allocation, you don't, in my experience, Vin, you too.
It doesn't go into a Schedule A or B or C.
It doesn't have.
And it's not listed, so the assets remain private.
Yeah. The key is this. What assets can be put into a trust, can be deeded into a trust? Well, almost anything.
Almost anything, I think, can go in there, Joe.
However, the things that are easy are real estate, because there's a title, and we can change the title ownership from Joe Martek personally to Joe Martek's trust, which still I can buy it and sell it, do whatever I want with it. But certain things are a little bit more difficult to put in a trust. And say I have a antique coin collection. Let's just say that it's worth $100,000 coin collection. Well, that's a pretty broad category. You know, that might need to have a schedule say exactly which coins are in it.
Each item has to be itemized and described. Yeah, there has to be a description.
You might need it for insurance purposes too.
Yeah. Anyway, here becomes an attorney, and why we need to have somebody that's competent and make sure we do this properly, because if an asset is not put into the trust and you die, it's not in the trust. You know, that's just what it is. You never, quote, funded it. Funded it means you change the ownership. So let's say you have an antique car worth $100,000. Well, you change the title. That's fine. That's a registered document. It doesn't have to go into any schedule.
But you can have personal property that has no title.
Exactly.
But it has to be listed in a...
Now, if you want to put that in the trust, you're going to have to put it on a schedule. No doubt about it. Anyway, because it's... Otherwise, it's... There's no way to... hearsay is exactly right. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Here comes an easy subject. Why do you get a trust at all?
Hey, there's those magic word. The magic word. Probate.
There you go. Oh. It avoids probate. Okay. What is probate?
It's a legal administration of an authentication of a will.
So what happens is this. Probate, let's say you have $1 million worth of probatable assets. Probatable. And they're not in a trust. They're just in your name and you die. And the attorney's going to say, oh boy, we need to now go through a court administration, and the normal process is about 5 to 6 months if everything goes right. Because the government says, the law says, they have to publish you in the newspaper that you're dead, and people have 3 months to come in and put a claim on your estate. After 3 months, if nobody puts a claim, then you go into the next step, go through the courts, and disperse the assets according to what was in the trust. Now, again, if you don't put those into the trust, they are subject to probate. So why do we have a trust? We avoid probate because a trust is like an inanimate object. I use an example of your kitchen table. Your kitchen table has no mind. It only does what you tell it to do. If it's going to move, it's because you move it. So if you take your assets and literally give them to the kitchen table now owns your house, your car, owns everything, but that kitchen table doesn't have a mind. You're the only one that has the mind, and you're what's called the trustee. So you instruct the table to sell the car, to give away stuff, to buy something, whatever you do, you are in charge. Now, the day you die, you're no longer in charge.
Can't do that anymore.
Now what happens is we have a successor trustee who is, you better have one of those in the trust. You're the first trustee, and while you're alive, you can do anything you want. But when the day you die, from that point on, a successor trustee has to do exactly what it says in that trust. And even from a tax standpoint, and Vince, this is something most people don't know, when you're alive, normally the tax ID number is your Social Security number. But the day you die, the trust gets its own identity. You have to order a new Social Security number, which is not called a Social Security number now. It's called a tax ID number.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same number of digits as the Social
Security. 9 digits.
Yeah. And then now it's a whole separate tax reform. Everything is, it's like a person. It has all the rights and authorities of a person. Concept again is, I die with a $1 million estate that's probatable. Attorneys by Florida regs can charge $30,000. They can charge more, they can charge less, but Florida suggests they charge 30 grand for that million. But if I had to put a trust together and I died, there is no probate. So there's no attorney's fees. Unless you want to go to an attorney and have him administer it, and he might charge you a couple hundred, $500, but definitely not $30,000. So the whole concept is, why do I do a trust? To avoid probate, period.
Now, and certain assets, Joe, don't need to be in a trust to avoid probate.
Exactly.
Things like IRAs, you know, pension plans, things like that.
Homestead.
And the homestead, because it's already in the documents themselves,
right.
All your beneficiaries are named. So once you name the beneficiary, then it goes to that person automatically.
And he made a subject here, but let me beat that one up a little harder. An IRA, individual retirement account,
mm-hmm.
or a 401k, which is a retirement account through your employer, or a 403b, which is usually for teachers or somebody like that, or a 457. There's like six or eight or ten different numbers.
Not-for-profits have their own.
SEP IRAs, mm. simple IRAs, all kinds of. But every one of these things are set up as standards by the government with rules, and every one of those is not subject to probate, as long as you name a beneficiary. Now, if you don't name a beneficiary, isn't that exciting?
If you don't name a beneficiary, it goes automatically to your estate.
Yep.
And that could be a problem.
That could be a problem. And, you know, it was interesting today. I had a fellow that listened to the radio show, and he's originally from Jamaica. I've got about a dozen clients, maybe 20, that are originally from Jamaica, and these are magnificent, wonderful people. They go from almost always from Jamaica to New York. They get real jobs. They get pension jobs. I mean, this is the number one thing. You get a job that pays a pension, so they go to work for the post office, somewhere for the government, teacher, something. Then they move to Florida and retire. So I get this phone call, and he says, come on and help me. So I get there, and this couple really doesn't know exactly what they're not very experienced, let's put it that way. And English was a bit tough, and so he brought his sister in, which was a bit of a help. But he had over $250,000 over that he had put into annuity contracts. Mm. Now, on the surface, this is all fun and good. The annuity contracts, what I did with right then and there, I said, we're going to call the company, and they're going to want to talk to you, and you're going to ask them, give permission to talk to me so I can ask the questions that you don't know the questions to ask, and then we'll fill in the blanks, and I'll teach you exactly what you've got on every one of them. Every one of these did not have a contingent beneficiary.
Really?
Not one. Hmm. That's the agent's fault. You name one beneficiary, so Joe Martek names Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom dies before Joe, and there's no name, no next person in line. It goes to my estate.
Right.
That's kind of a mistake, because now it's subject to probate.
Right.
So you always name a primary, and sometimes you can have four primaries. And then oftentimes you'll name contingent beneficiaries, which if there's one primary and that person dies with you, let's say it's your wife, sometimes we'll name the kids, the children as...
Well, you can name your grandchildren. I mean, it's a planning technique. Absolutely.
But the key is this fellow did the wrong job for them, so it was kind of good that I was there. So I called the company. I said, we need to send us the forms to add beneficiaries, which they're going to do. And then we found everyone, added up all the dollars, which he couldn't figure out how much money he had, because the way the statements read, they're never easy. So I found the whole thing out. And at the end, he was happy, because he wasn't sure if he was being taken advantage of, or if he didn't worth as much as he put in, but it all worked out well. And it, you know, made me feel good. So at the end, they said, okay, how much do we owe you? I said, $10,000. And of course they laughed. And I said, or nothing, which do you prefer?
Let me think about this.
That's a tough one.
And I said, you know, I never charge for this kind of stuff. I'm a believer in what goes around comes around. To help people with existing, and I don't do any business, I'm not going to charge anything for it. But literally, I just said, hey, you know, here's my card. If anybody needs help, I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to help them. And that's just all there is to it. And you know, Tom, that sometimes is worth 10 times as much as trying to pick up.
Doing what's right always pays off.
That's
you know,
the bottom
line.
It just
you tell people, you know, if you sow good seed into good ground, you get a harvest. And, you know, sometimes it costs a little bit of sweat, a little bit of time to do it, but it always pays off.
Well, it's hard to find good ground in Florida.
Well, yeah.
Well, if you're trying,
he's using a parable. An example of some almost scripture.
There is some good ground in Florida.
Yeah, it's over near Clewiston and Belvoir. Ruskin's got some good tomato ground.
And Zellwood.
Zellwood. Well, he knows his geography, doesn't he?
Yeah, Zellwood. You ever have the corn from Zellwood?
No.
Zellwood corn?
Hey, do you know what glean means?
Glean?
Yes, he knows glean.
Yes, I know what glean means.
He knows corn.
Do you know what glean means?
Yeah, glean. Yeah.
What's glean mean? Come on, this is a test.
Usually it's what's left behind after you take
the main
harvest.
You go back and pick up the leftovers.
I'm impressed. Yeah. You know, I expect it. So I'm living up in northern Michigan, and I'm much younger. And my wife says one day, I says, what are you going to do? She's getting all set, packing up stuff. She says, I'm going to go pick beans. And I said, how do you do that? She goes, well, in this field, they have these tractors that come along and they pick all the beans. And sometimes they run over a row and they don't get them all. And we can go get them. So that day I learned gleaning, which is what it was. You get the leftovers in the field.
Exactly.
And they went and gleaned it. Well, that was the good news. Bad news is, and this is not bad news for me, except I had to drive 200 miles to get jars to can 40 quarts of green beans. free green beans probably cost me more than if I could have bought green beans my whole life, because we had to get the jars. You got to cook them. You got to drive 200 miles to get the jars. It was interesting.
But Joe,
it's an experience.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. To get back to your point before, though, about the beneficiaries and
right,
all that.
Right.
Sometimes we as professionals fall into this trap for ourselves. We trap ourselves because we make assumptions. We assume that some of these questions are so basic that everybody would understand it and look after those things.
Yeah, and that's a shame.
And it is, because it's true. You ask them a simple thing like that. Well, when was the last time you looked at the beneficiaries on your IRAs, your yeah, annuities and yeah, all that? They said, well, I bought it 26 years ago. I don't even remember who the beneficiaries are.
Well, the interesting thing was with them, they had no contingent on any of them, and one of them had no beneficiaries at all.
That's
the guy writing this thing up didn't do it right. Well, you know what? Nobody will know until that person dies, and then they find out that it wasn't, and you know who's going to, the attorney's going to say, well, there should have been named beneficiaries in there, but now because there's not, it's going to take 6 months to get that money because it's going to have to go through probate. Isn't that, and all they had to do is fill it in. A lot of people don't know, and Vince was alluding to it, but there are certain assets that are not subject to attachment by creditors,
mm-hmm,
IRAs. O.J. Simpson's one of the best examples of somebody who gets $25,000 a month from an NFL retirement annuity. They cannot touch that money. They can take everything he makes on that 25, but they cannot take that $25,000 a month. So he's sitting in jail collecting $25,000 a month that nobody can touch. Isn't that nice?
That's pretty good, isn't it?
So that's an annuity contract. An IRA is the same. That's not subject to attachment by creditors. Neither are 401ks, 457s. Pick any number that where the money
is. What about your Social Security?
No, Social Security can't be either.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that exciting? So there's certain things that can't be attached.
Well, that's a protection for people that, you know, that gives them some assurance that, you know, if they're in business or if they're in a, you know, occupation that they could end up getting sued or something, that there's some security for them and for their family.
It goes contrary to the reason it was there in the first place, which was to provide security for people in their old age.
Exactly.
And so it's right to carve that out.
Exactly.
It's right to carve that out.
Well, the other thing is, in Florida, your homestead, quote, if you have declared your home, your place you live, as a homestead, that's also exempt from attachment by creditors. So you get sued.
That's why when people file bankruptcy, they can't take their home.
Exactly. Now, if, let's say, you've got a mortgage on it and you don't make payments on it, they can foreclose on it. That's got nothing to do with a creditor. They have first right to take your home, but you got to pay them. If you don't pay them, they're going to take it regardless, you know, go through the foreclosure process. But let's assume you have no mortgage and say the house is worth $1 million, which there are some cases sometime years ago, I think it was Enron, when the guys were going to go bankrupt and they were building palaces down in Boca or Palm Beach County worth multi-millions of dollars with ill-gotten money. Well, if they could have had them all done and finished and put through the probate or put through the homestead process, and then later had a lawsuit come, that would have been exempt. So the concept was they might have been able to go bankrupt against everything there was and yet keep up to 160 acres and I think two houses on that same piece of property. That's
for, whatever the law is.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's just, it's
now once they liquidate that asset, if they sell that home, can the creditor attach?
Well,
not if it's no longer their homestead.
Can they get, so I mean, if they sold their home,
right,
and they've got the $1 million now in
the bank
account,
but however,
it can be attached
if they went bankrupt,
even though it came from
they went bankrupt. But even then, that's part of the bankruptcy proceeding, and they have to decide what to do with that money.
Well, after the bankruptcy is sold and done, and your house is exempt, you know, the bankruptcy has been discharged, it's over with. You can sell that house and keep the $1 million.
That's over. My question.
But not
is if you're in bankruptcy and you come out.
Yeah. The difference. No. If you're done and it's discharged, you're over with. Bankruptcy is done and over with and discharged. It says here.
Then you sell the house. The money's yours.
Then down the road.
Yeah, but if you sell the house during the bankruptcy before it's discharged,
guess what?
That's a different story.
That's part of your assets.
It becomes part of your assets and distributable.
Yep. And if you don't disclose it, that's called a little minor.
That's like
criminal offense.
Yeah,
it's called jail time. You know, some little minor thing. You know what? Say Al Capone went to jail.
That's another retirement program.
Well, you know how they caught him?
Three square. Yeah, tax evasion. Yeah,
not on his criminal activities.
Not on criminal activities.
Well, if anybody out there has questions about any of this, you can call the station today, toll free, 888-221-8990, and Joe And Vince
better
will
known
be glad.
As Bill?
Better known as Don and Phil.
Be glad to answer your questions. I know why I called you Phil.
Why?
Because I thought you were a prince, and I just oh, you know, Prince Philip.
No, well, wow. It took him a while to remember this.
No,
but I was impressed that you
came
up with it at all.
Yeah, he came up with that. That's good.
You know, for an old guy, you're not as bad as I thought. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So, you know, it almost needs people prodding us once in a while that we things we take for granted that they don't know. And a lot of these, you know, hey, if you don't do it every day, how do you know?
The first thing I ask the new client is, do you have a will?
Yeah.
You'd be
yeah.
surprised how many people say, oh, no.
No, yeah.
Well, I, you know, got a thing that you might talk about that's interesting. I got a little piece of mail the other day, and it was about a seminar for Social Security.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And it said that there were 562 different ways to file Social Security.
562. That's a good number.
Never heard that.
Well, you know, it was something like that. Matter of fact, I've got it back in the office.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And but they were talking about how many different ways there are to file, and how you can end up costing yourself a lot of money if you don't file correctly.
No doubt about it.
And that the employees of the Social Security Administration are prohibited by law from giving you any
inclination about
what to do or how to do it.
They'll never volunteer that.
One of the
you really should go to a professional who understands.
Well, Vince, you sat through an 8-hour
class. Now, who would that professional be? A CPA?
It could be a CPA.
It should be.
It could be a financial advisor. These days, this is such a hot topic, Pastor. That's why you got that postcard. I've gotten them, too. Is it's hot because you got 75 million baby boomers. The leading edge is about 68, 69 years old, and they're all coming upon these RMDs, what we call required minimum distributions, coming out of their 401ks. Well, there's a whole revenue stream coming out now of people who are just advising clients on what to do with RMDs.
Did we have a phone call or do we know?
No, that's not a phone call here, I don't believe.
You don't think so?
Well,
it's somebody out there trying to reach out to us. Somebody's reaching out. He's going to find out.
Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Can we help you?
Yes. I'm going to ask a question about a van investment.
About a what again?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Can you hear us?
Yeah. Now can you get enough?
Okay, what's your question?
If someone have their property paid off, and they want to do investment, they want to take money off this property to invest. So what's the best way to go? Should they take a loan or they take a loan equity, line of equity?
Good question.
To invest.
What happened is you own a piece of property free and clear, right? You've got it paid off, right?
You own that property free and clear?
Yes.
And
okay,
it's paid off?
Paid off, yes.
So what you're saying is, let's just say it's worth $100,000 and you want to get a loan from the bank for $100,000 and then you want to invest that money and hopefully you're going to make... Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now here's... If it was me doing that, first of all, I'm not real hot on borrowing money to invest money. But I have seen people do it. One of the things you might consider is this. If you get a regular mortgage...
I heard you're kind of low.
Pardon me? Okay.
Yeah, I hardly can hear you.
If you get a regular loan, a mortgage on that property through a bank, you're going to pay costs and fees and all kinds of stuff, and it might be worth cost $5,000 or $7,000 in fees. So first of all, you got to account for that money and say, how long is it going to take me to pay that back with the money I make? Secondly, if you got a home equity line of credit at your bank, very often they don't charge you these fees, et cetera, and they might charge you 3 or 4% interest. And if you can turn around and make 7 or 8 or 10% interest because of your investments, sometimes that can make sense. One of the things you might want to do when you do that is understand, if you are making money on the investments, is just pay off that loan as soon, fast as humanly possible so that you don't have any debt and yet you end up with some cash and the property. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
So literally, you can get...
I would try to find out where I can pay less.
You want to find out what again?
Cut corners to pay less, you say.
Well, the cut corners to pay less is a home equity line of credit. You go to your bank, said, I've got a
piece. Hello, are you there?
Yeah. You go to your bank. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
No, they can't hear you.
Okay. What happens is we can't hear you.
Kind of bad. I can't hear it at all.
Okay. So what happens is a home equity line of credit. A home equity line of credit. You go to your bank, and they don't charge you extra fees normally for that home equity line of credit. And
hello?
Can you hear that?
Okay, Joe, I don't think he's able to hear. It's on his end there.
Okay.
Caller, if you will, try to hang up and call back. We're having a bad connection here. Okay?
Hello?
Hello. All right. We're going to, if he's out there listening, we
got a bad connection.
Got a bad connection, and the call dropped there. So we do apologize for that.
Call back 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Or if you're listening, let me just repeat that. And again, Vince and I both don't necessarily suggest to anybody that they borrow money to invest. I've seen people double lose because they made bad investments. But if you feel comfortable doing that, I would not go get what I call a first mortgage on the property and pay points and closing costs, etc. A home equity line of credit, very often banks don't charge any of these fees up front, and you don't have to take all the money out at one time. If you got a line of credit, it's like having a credit card that says you got a $50,000 limit, but if you only take $10,000 out, you only owe $10,000 plus whatever interest. So I would talk to your bank, whoever you're dealing with, and say, tell me about your home equity line of credit.
But you know, Joe, that I agree. It can be dangerous when you're borrowing money to invest. And here's why. Depending on how much.
Right.
All of the income is going to be taxed.
Right.
You may or may not get a deduction for the interest. It depends on, A, you only can deduct interest up to $100,000 of home equity.
Right.
And if you're not itemizing your deductions, you might lose that deduction.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're paying interest on all of it. So what that means in the end is it drives your net investment return down.
What you have to do, you have to look at both sides of the coin. And it's one of those things that it probably is a good idea. Check with your bank, one, see what they do with a home equity line of credit, find out what interest rate they charge, and then talk to somebody like Vince or me and say, hey, okay, they're going to charge me 4%, 5%. What can I make with very little or no risk? Probably going to be a wash. You're not going to make a dime. Then why would I do it? You got to think
about
it.
There's a caller.
I got a caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello?
Hello. Hello. How you doing? Blessed good evening to you.
Very good talking to you. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes. I'm 47, going 48. And I did some investment when I used to work with Publix. I bought some stock with my kids' name in it.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what should I do with it? Because I'm in the 401k too, but I never touch it. I leave and I open an IRA account. And on top of that, couple years, about 16 years ago, I buy a life insurance. And I know on the paperwork, they said I can get money from it. I never touch it. And I'm needing your input on it because I'm getting up in age and I want to know what to do with my stocks, what I buy to the company, what I used to work with.
Are you still working for Publix now or no?
No, I retire and they give me some retirement money towards something, so I put it in an IRA account.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's there. I put it there now about 6-7 years. It's in a bank, in Wells Fargo Bank, and I don't really do anything with it, so I'm like, it just sit there, and I would like to know what to do to make some extra money, because, you know, it just sit there in the IRA account, and it rolled over every year.
What I would do is this. Did you give Connie your name and phone number when you called in?
Yes.
What I'm going to do is this. Instead of going into specifics right now, what I need to do is talk to you in a little more detail, and we'll do it off the air, because you're a little more complicated than I can handle right on the radio. So do you mind if I call you back after the show?
I don't mind.
Okay, good. So you thank you so much for listening and calling, and I will call you back. Are you working now, or are you retired now?
I am working part-time now, but I retired from the company because of my back and everything.
I understand. Well, if I'll try to get a hold of you today, but if I don't, it'll be sometime tomorrow. And if I leave you a message because you're busy, you'll call me back and I'll give you my cell phone and we'll help you through this and let's see if we can make your life a little better.
Thank you and keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye. 1-888-221-8990. Now, you know, this is something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
People have a 401k, then they roll it into an IRA, and they put it into something paying 1%, 0.5%, 2%, and they just back not knowing, are there any other options where it can do a little better?
She's also got company stock, so she wants to know what to do with that.
Exactly. Now, you know, if you have, let's just talk about it. Publix is not a public company.
No.
They're a closed company. But Publix will sell you, you can sell your stock back to Publix, and they're very easy to work with. I've done it regularly for people. You just send your shares in, and they send you a check.
Right.
And that works pretty simple. Now, if it's in an IRA, the public stock, then what you have to do is just make sure you take that check and put it into another IRA immediately when you get it. Don't take it and spend it and try to, otherwise you're going to be taxed on it.
You'll be taxed on it for sure.
Yeah. So that was a couple of good questions there. I have a very sophisticated young lady that I met through the radio station here who has 401k and an IRA and really knew absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, about stock. Had never stock, as far as she was concerned, is something you use to make soup. Or it's something,
either that or it's cattle.
Yeah, right. Or it's something they used to, back in Victorian days, put people in the stock.
Into a stock, you know, right? Yeah.
But the point is, I'm trying to say, it's education. And the first thing to do is to learn something. And then once you know it, you have a better feel for how to go. I had a case, Vince, just recently. A commercial fisherman, retired, had big chunk of money in the bank. Bank was paying him 5 or 6%.
Really?
All of a sudden, well, it's an old timey. He got himself a long timey and got lucky. And all of a sudden, it comes due, and they're going to renew it for one.
Yeah. Well,
so
yeah.
He wasn't too happy. So he says, okay, I want conservative. What can we do? And exchange-traded debt, you know, that's paying 5 and 6%. But I got to tell you something. This guy is very smart, and he's learning it. Mm. He's asking questions that 90% of the people don't get. And I said, you know, there's a possibility that you could get a real job as a stockbroker down the road if you don't die first. Because he's old. But what I said, you know, there's no such thing as any one person being an expert on everything. But if you find most people that are active in the market, they don't usually try to learn 15 and 20 different things. They stay involved in a couple of different areas where they can become reasonably intelligent and can make intelligent decisions. So here again, we're talking IRAs, 401ks, what kind of investments are available, when can I take money out? Mike, simple rule.
Well, you can take it out at any time, but be careful. Because if you're under 59 and a half, you're subject to a 10% penalty. You know that.
Plus the tax.
Plus the tax on it. So, your net yield is probably 60% of the money you're looking at.
And we got another caller here.
Take it.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I have a question. My father was recently diagnosed with cancer.
Sorry to hear.
And we're finding out now. This was probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and he was originally hospitalized. They put him in a hospital for 3-4 days. They figured out what was wrong. They sent him home, and they came up with a plan. They said, okay, at this stage, you're going to go back in the hospital. We're going to do surgery. You're going to be in the hospital for 10 to 12 days. You know, they had it all planned out. And now that the surgery's over and he's going to start doing the chemotherapy, now the medical bills are starting to pile up. My mom and dad are starting to get overwhelmed with medical bills.
How old is your dad? How old is your dad?
He's 64.
Oh, boy. Does he have health insurance?
He does have health insurance, but they're finding that it's not covering as much as they would like.
It isn't very often you're going to hear me applaud Obama, but under Obamacare, if he has insurance now, there can be no limit on the amount of coverage. So if your dad runs up $1 million, $2 million, $3 million worth of bills, that insurance policy has got to protect him. Now, it might have a $6,000 or $7,000 deductible, but once that deductible is met, the rest of it should be covered.
Should be covered, yeah.
So literally, if you find his insurance card, I don't know how your dad's feeling if he's up to it, but you could find the insurance card and call the insurance company directly and give him the policy number, which should be right on his card, and say, tell me what, my dad has cancer, this is his coverage, how does this work for him, what's his deductible out of pocket period, and how much is he covered for? Those are the two questions. If you run into any problems with that, you call back. I will physically help you myself, or Vince will. These are things that we come up against regularly, so it's easy for us. But the number one thing you do is call the company up, whoever's on his insurance card, give them the contract number, which is on that, and say, what is the most my dad can pay out of pocket, period, because he has cancer and it's gone through hundreds of thousands of dollars probably worth of operations and chemo, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
And then if you run into static with any of that, you call back and Joe Martek or Vince Rizzino, we will help you through this, because it's when you're in the business like we are, we're a little harder to intimidate and we're a little bit more dangerous knowing the right questions to ask.
Okay. When I talked to my mom, she's in Pennsylvania and I'm down here in Florida. And she said that she contacted one of the doctors and one of the hospitals, and they set a certain amount of money that they felt was necessary for as far as making payments.
Well, tell them not to make payments, period. I wouldn't make a payment in the world. And contacting the doctor in a hospital is, forgive me, is the wrong thing. You got to go straight to the insurance company, because the doctors in the hospitals will bill directly to the insurance company. And if they're not, shame on them. That's what they're supposed to do. So what you have to do is be an advocate for your mom and dad and get a little tough here, but call your mom, find out exactly what company, what the contract number is, get on the phone. You're the son. If they won't talk to you, you say, what do I need to do to get my dad's permission for you to talk to me? And they'll tell you either something in writing or do a three-way phone call, something that gets done. If you still have static, you get me involved and I will get involved with the insurance company and do what's necessary. So, but please tell them, do not pay anything. Don't pay anything until we find out what the deductible is and what the coverage is.
Okay.
All right. So you call back if you want anytime, and you know, they'll give you my number here, and we'll help you make sure that you don't get taken advantage of. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
You know what can happen there, Joe? Sometimes the doctor's office will check on the deductible on your policy, and if you haven't met it, they'll make you come up front with the money. That's probably, it may be what's going on there.
Yeah, there was a situation that I got into recently that if we went and had an MRI done, the MRI was $500. Oh, you've got insurance? It's $2,500.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, something wrong with that.
There's actually an ad on the radio that says, if you don't have insurance, our price is lower. If you do have insurance, we'll bill the insurance company. Well, the insurance companies like Medicare, et cetera, they set a dollar limit. They basically, it makes no difference what you charge. This is what they're going to pay.
Right.
Anyway,
we're out of time.
Thank you so much, and we're here to help anytime you can. 1-888-221-8990. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
Has anybody told you about Jesus? How he suffered on that cross for us?
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm.